Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text which we meditate upon this morning is from Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth is removed and the mountains are carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So far our text. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. So, the coronavirus. It's all that anyone's been talking about for the last couple days. School is canceled for almost a month. Apparently all the toilet paper is gone from the stores. I stopped in Saturday to pick up some formula for my daughter and saw whole shelves that were just empty in Walmart. How is everyone feeling? Scared? Worried? Confused? Upset? What are we supposed to think? What are we supposed to do? Many people on TV are saying this is very dangerous, very terrible. Others try and say, yeah, it's not as bad as everyone's hyping it up to be. Who are we to listen to? Well, I can tell you that no matter how big of a deal it is, it's not a big deal. I can say that not because I'm a doctor or a nurse or because I know anything about the coronavirus, because I don't. But I can say that because I compare it to God's word. I compare it to our psalm this morning. Look in our psalm this morning, and what do you find? You find mountains falling down. You find the sea roaring and crashing. You find the earth melting. And standing in the midst of all of this chaos and danger and destruction, the psalmist shrugs his shoulders. So what, he says. What does it matter to me? The Lord of hosts is my refuge. The coronavirus may be as bad as it's hyped up to be, or even worse, or not nearly as bad. But no matter what, it's not as bad as the earth melting all around us. And so I can tell you with assurance that it is a small thing. It is a small thing in comparison to the strength of our God. It is a small thing in comparison to the love of our God. It is a small thing for our Lord, and the Lord will take care of it. It is a small thing, and the it doesn't even matter. The it is always something else, right? Always something different. Today, it is the coronavirus. Yesterday, it was SARS. And before that, it was the housing market crash. Tomorrow, it will be something different. And a few years from that, something else instead. But no matter what it is small compared to our Lord. And for that reason, we will not fear. Even if the earth is removed. Even if the mountains fall into the sea. The people of this world have nothing except this life only. And therefore, when this life is threatened, or the things of this life, it is time for fear and panic. They circle the wagons. They protect this life at all cost, and they protect the things they have accumulated in this life at all cost. But we are different. We know this life is but a journey, a boat ride. And if it ends, when it ends, we will go home. That is not something to fear or avoid. It's something to look forward to. Therefore, the psalmist is able to stand and eat popcorn, even while great tidal waves build up and break and crash down upon him. Even while the mountain is falling around him. Even while the earth is melting under him. It doesn't matter. These are small things, and God will take care of them. Remember our psalm from last week? Even in a flood of great waters, they will not come near you. The waves crash around us, but we are safe. We are safe in the rock, in the refuge of our Lord. The seas roar and are troubled, but on the other hand, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. Our psalmist paints here a vivid contrast. On the one hand, you have the water of the sea, which is greatly troubled and turbulent, crashing and pounding, causing noise and destruction. On the other hand, you have this quiet, calm river. The sea creates fear. The river brings peace to the city of God. With these words, the psalmist paints for us a picture of the contrast between the words and attitude of men and the word of our God. Men are always in a panic about something. They're always crashing and pounding, causing noise and destruction. The word of our God is a word of love and of peace. A little thing happens, whether it's a new disease or something else. The media hypes it up. The stock market goes up and down. Some leaders start shouting doom. Other leaders start shouting at those leaders, and still other leaders shout at those leaders. The borders are closed. The airlines are empty. Some of these things may or may not be a good idea, but regardless of whether they are good ideas or not, they stand in sharp contrast to the calm, quiet voice of our Lord, our Shepherd. I am your God, he says. I am your King. I am your Shepherd. I am your Father. Come to me. I am a rock, a refuge, a sure and safe hiding place. Nothing will come near you. Nothing will touch you. The voice of man is chaos and panic, but the voice of our God is the quiet stream of peace. Normally, many would think and say just the opposite. They would say that the word of God is judgmental and condemning. He won't let me live the way I want. He's always telling me what I'm doing wrong. The voice of the world is what I like to hear. The world lets me live the way I like. They let me do the things I want. I get to have fun with that voice. Yeah, when even the smallest trouble comes, there is no comfort, no peace, no joy in that voice. On the other hand, we have the voice of God, that stream which makes glad the city of God, which does not hide the truth from us, but at the same time promises real solutions to our very real problems. The world says sin isn't real. We can live as we want and do what we want. God says, yes, sin is very real, and you are a terrible sinner, but I sent my son to die for you and save you. The world says 50 years from now, everything is going to die. Life is going to change as we know it. The forests are going to be gone. Climate change is going to ruin the world. God's word says, yes, man is sinful and ruins everything with his sin. Yet, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest will not cease. The world says plague, violence, wars, earthquakes. What are we going to do? God's word says, I am your refuge and your hiding place, a very present help in trouble. God's word is the peaceful river that gives joy to the city of God, the holy place of the Most High. What is this city of God? We can see from the context that the city of God, which is made joyful by this river, is clearly a reference to the church. That is, the gathering of all people. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God's talking about his people, and God will help them. Anyone see that movie John Q, starring Denzel Washington? In that movie, the man's son was in terrible need of a transplant, but John, without knowing it, had lost his insurance. The hospital wasn't going to give the transplant if he couldn't pay for it. And so John ended up holding the hospital and doctor hostage at gunpoint in order to force them to give his son a transplant. John Q ended up in prison, but his son got the transplant. Now, whether you think that was right or wrong what John did, whether you think there's probably a better way or not, we can all sympathize with this man. We can all agree, what wouldn't we do for our children? If there was a choice between going to prison to save our son's life or letting our son die remaining free, I think most of us would say, yeah, I'll go to prison. The Bible reminds us, if we, being sinners and evil people, know how to do what is good for our children, how much more will not our Father in heaven always give us what is good? Matthew 7:11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? That is to say, what wouldn't our Father do for us? Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God will help her, our psalmist says, just at the break of dawn. That is to say, when things look their worst, when the night is its darkest and coldest, when the enemy surrounds us and it looks as if there's no hope, then will come the dawn of God's deliverance. Then shall the Son of God's salvation arise. That is not to say that God is going to purposely wait until everything is as bad as it possibly can be. God doesn't do that. But it often seems to us that he does. It often seems to us like things are the worst they can be, that there is no more hope. Like it's the darkest part of the night. And rest assured, God will help her. God does come with his salvation, even when things look really bleak and dark. The Lord of hosts is with us. That is, the Lord who commands 10,000 times 10,000 angel armies. Remember what Peter, what God said to Peter, what Jesus said to Peter in the garden? He said, "Do you not know that I could ask my Father, and right now he would provide me with 10,000 times 10,000 angels, and the Roman soldiers would not be able to take me?" The servant of Elisha was able to see those armies with his own eyes, those angel armies standing between him and the Syrians. And we can't see them. But we know they're there. They surround us too, and there is nothing that's going to get past them. If God doesn't allow it, not the smallest virus or the largest bomb. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You remember the story of Jacob. You remember how he spent the night on the east side of the river in fear, tossing and turning all night, in fear of what would happen the next day when he saw his brother Esau again. He was certain that Esau was going to try and kill him. And the Lord appeared to him that night, and Jacob wrestled with the Lord. And Jacob grabbed on to the Lord and would not let him go until he blessed him. And the Lord said to Jacob, "Your name shall be Israel, because you have wrestled with God and you have won." What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful truth that we can win a wrestling match with God. How did Jacob win? He won by holding on to God's promises. The promises, those same promises of God, surround us like a fortress. They lift us up in every situation. They keep us safe and well. We come back to the promises of God and we build our life upon them because there's something that we can trust. There's something. They are something we know will never fail. Be still and know that I am God. That is to say, be at peace. Don't worry. I am your God. The word translated "be still" here literally means to be lazy. Sit back in your lawn chair with your lemonade and your favorite book, or in your easy chair with the game on. So what if the world is falling apart outside? I am your God. I am your shepherd, says the Lord. When it's time for the war to end, the Lord will speak a word and the war will end. When it's time for the plague to be done, the Lord will stop it. The problems of this world, including the coronavirus, are a small thing. They are a small thing in comparison to the problem of our sin, and the Lord has taken care of that. They are a small thing in comparison to the Lord's strength. They are a small thing in comparison to death and the devil, and the Lord has defeated them all. This too will pass like a blade of grass in the field. It is here today and gone tomorrow. It may be that before it passes, some of us will go home to be with our Savior. It may not be. But then, that's always true. More importantly, nothing. Not the smallest virus, or the greatest storm, or the worst enemy will ever touch a hair of our head without God allowing it. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He is our rock. He is our refuge. He is a very present help in all troubles. Amen.